John chapter 9, and we're reading verses 35 through 41. Comes shortly after Jesus has healed the man who was born blind. John 9:35. John heard that they had thrown him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Amen.
Have you ever had an experience where you look back over it and you say, "That's the story of my life"? Maybe it's something that happens pretty frequently and humbles you. Say, "That's the story of my life." The thing that happened is characteristic. That's you. That's what you do. And I think there seems to be about six times in the Gospels where Jesus, facing a circumstance, says, "That's the story of my life." He does that with regard to this statement we're looking at. He's saying, "This is what I came for." He sees what's just taken place. He says, "This is what I've come for." It's a wonderful account of the man born blind. Didn't even know enough to ask Jesus for sight. His friends brought him. I mean, how can a man born blind be asking for sight? Doesn't know what it is. But Jesus gives it to him. And he finds Jesus. Jesus finds him later and talks to him, and he worships him. And Jesus says, "That's the story of my life. I came to give sight to the blind, bring them to worship." Well, that seems to be what he has in his thoughts when he has one of these six important statements where he said, "The Son of Man came for this reason." That's what we're looking at in our series. We're looking at the different places where Jesus said, "This is the reason I came." And they've been interesting, that the ones we've looked at so far. We're going to look at all the six of them, where Jesus declares his purpose in coming. The one we're looking at today is what he declares in verse 39. I'll look at verse 39 into the end. Read it again, or follow along with me. Jesus said, "For judgment I've come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. Now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." There are three things in this passage I'd like us to look at. First of all, judgment, then sight, and then blindness. In what Jesus says, judgment, sight, blindness, many other things that could come to your mind as we look at the passage. And what we desire always in the preaching of God's word, that the thing that God brings to your mind is the thing you follow. That you get from God what God is saying to you. We're looking at the word of God. And he's got a way of using the Word of God to speak to individuals in their personal circumstance where they are right now. And there are times that a person can sit under a sermon and something speaks to them. And they think, the sermon came forth for me alone. You've had that experience. Because God can work in the preaching of God's Word to bring a message to the heart of a person hearing. And we long for him to do that. Maybe something will catch your attention, but it's in order to get to your heart. And so may the Lord, by his mercy, answer his promise to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And as we come to this passage, to corporately, I'll lead in prayer, but you corporately pray, "Lord, show me. Open my eyes to see. Lord, help me to appreciate what you have for me from this passage. Feed me from your word." May God grant us grace, each one, to receive something personal for us from this passage. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is wonderful. May the Lord help us to see it today. We're looking at judgment, sight, and blindness. as we find in the text, "For judgment I've come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Let's pray. Lord, we do sit in awe in your presence this morning, aware that we're opening your word. And your word is powerful. And blessed by your Spirit, it changes our lives. It speaks to us in ways we didn't expect. And it transforms us. And we worship you for your word. And we praise you and thank you for giving it to us and for preserving it these many years. Thank you that we have the privilege to open your word today. We're conscious that, treasure that it is, we still need your help for it to speak to us. It doesn't take the place of God. It's the means that you will use to speak to us. Will you speak to us in this hour? Will you visit us by your Holy Spirit? If there are some in our midst that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, will you reveal it to them today? Will you show yourself? Others of us are who need to learn of you. Will you teach us? We look to you, Lord Jesus Christ, and to your Spirit to bless and help us today. And we come with thanksgiving that we're allowed to come. It is a blessing to be here. It's a privilege to hear your word. Grant us grace that it may speak to us according to our need. Bless us, we pray, O Lord. Bring us to worship you, even as you did the man born blind, brought to sight. He worshiped you. So may we worship you this morning, O Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in your blessed name. Amen. Jesus says, "For judgment I've come into the world." Now that doesn't mean what we often think of judgment. When we think of judging somebody, we mean condemn them. And you come to a conclusion and you exclude them. That kind of judgment, it's the kind of thing Jesus says not to do. We don't judge one another in that way. You don't condemn other people. But you do evaluate. You do come to decide. You come to see. You come to evaluate the way they live. People that say, "You judge not lest you be judged." It's not a matter of condemning. It's a matter of evaluating behavior to see whether it's in accordance with the word of God and whether it's possibly on the path of blessing. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came." There is coming a day when Jesus will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And that is an awesome day, and Jesus will come in that day, and he will bring judgment of a condemning kind. But he does say in another passage, which we'll look at with more detail, "I have not come to condemn, but to save." He has come in judgment, not to condemn. He comes to judge us this morning, not to condemn, but to judge us, to evaluate, in such a way as to help us to come to him. Help us to learn of him. Help us to be what he desires us to be. So he can say, "For judgment I have come into the world." For another kind of judgment he will come. But for judgment he's come into the world. And that's what we look at this morning. Judgment. It involves evaluation. It involves discernment. It involves categorizing of men and women, boys and girls. Viewing them in categories, judging their qualities, judging things about them. And the question comes to you this morning, what kind of person are you? Jesus comes this morning to judge. What kind of person are you? Into what category do you fit? What is your destiny if you stay on your present road? What is your present standing with God? Jesus comes today to judge. People could be for or against Jesus without affecting him in the slightest. And we need to remember that when we think of Christ. People have said terrible things and been very against Jesus. It didn't affect Jesus at all. He is what he is. And he doesn't need the approval of man, anyone. Paul could say, "Though God be true and every man, and God be true, though every man a liar." Nobody could appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, and he still is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he still is worthy of our praise. And he still judges us by his very person. The illustration I've used before, perhaps here, certainly at school, was a person, probably an American, chewing a dead cigar. He'll chew it, and when they say no smoking, it's not lit. And he'll stay in he's in the Louvre in Paris, and he comes before the Mona Lisa. He says, "My, it's small." And he looks at it and he says, piece of junk, and goes on. A priceless work of art. Now, the fact that this guy with a dead cigar looks at it and calls it a piece of junk, does that affect the painting at all? Not in the slightest. He doesn't judge the painting at all. Nobody thinks differently about the painting because of him, except to bounce off him and say, the guy is wrong. It's wonderful. That's the way that people are judged. The painting's not judged. It is what it is. The person's judged by how they respond to it. It's why you don't feel really comfortable when you go to an art museum and somebody says, what do you think of it? Because you know that what you think of it judges you. It doesn't judge it. And Jesus came in that way. He judges you. He is who he is. Your response to him says a great deal about you, not about him. Oh, I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, well, you're a person that doesn't believe in Jesus then. And that says something about you. Well, I think he's fine, but I don't want to serve him. Okay, you're a kind of person that doesn't want to serve Jesus. You've said what you are when you react to Jesus. He judges us. He is the standard. He is the glorious person. He is the Son of God. And what you think of him says nothing about him. It says something about you. And Jesus knew that was the case. He knew he could say, I do always the things that please my Father. He knew that he never did anything that was against God. He knew that he lived the perfect example of what a person ought to live, that he lived perfectly, that he obeyed God's commands in detail, even in the midst of the crucifixion of the cross. He must say, I thirst, because he must receive what is to be given to the one dying. He knows the prophets. He knows what he must do, and he must do it. He was the perfect person. And your reaction to him says nothing about him, but it says a good deal about you. If you reject Jesus, that says nothing about him, but everything about you. He's absolutely untouched by any man's opinion. He is what he is, and it's unspeakably glorious and worthy of our life, our all. If you don't think so, well, then you're a person that doesn't think so. But you say nothing about him. It's a wonderful thing, and Jesus was conscious of that. He's not boasting. He's not swaggering. He's simply declaring what he is. That's what he came when he declared, when he called. And this man worships him, and he doesn't stop him. That's an interesting little point in it, because somebody bowed down to worship Peter, Peter says, stop, I'm only a man. Don't worship me, worship God. When angels appeared and people worshiped, the angel said, don't worship me, worship God. But this man bows and worships Christ, and he receives it, because he knows who he is. Who do you think Jesus is? What's your opinion? Pretty good guy that probably would be good for you to know him, maybe. And maybe if you did know him, you might escape hell sometime in the future if you need it. Is that what you think of Jesus? Well, it doesn't say anything about Jesus, but it says a lot about you. Somebody that you don't think is quite worthy of your time and energy right now? Well, that's what you think about Jesus. It says something about you. It doesn't say anything about whether he is worthy of your time and your whole life and your surrender of everything to him. It doesn't say anything about that. He is worthy. There is no question about his worthiness. But your reluctance to get behind that and to see him for what he is and love him says something about your capacity to love and what you see and what you understand. And the prouder you are about what you do know, the more you cut yourself off from him. We'll see that as we look at blindness. Well, there's what Jesus was conscious of. He came into the world to judge the world, and to judge the world in this regard today. When you are, who you are can be evaluated by what you think of Jesus Christ. You think about that. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't taken a stand, if you haven't purposely declared your allegiance to Jesus, if you're still waiting, you're a person who's waiting. Why? What is there about you that waits? If you look closely, would you perhaps see areas of your sin and selfishness? Would you see areas of your pride? Would you see areas in you that keep you from coming to Christ? What kept you from coming to Christ before you did come? Was it not your pride? Was it not your selfishness? Was it not your determined to have your own way? Was it not your manipulating attitude that wanted to control your own life? Was it not a lot of ugly things that now you look at and are embarrassed by and are thankful that God's forgiven you? But if you're one outside of Christ, not seeking his face, not desiring him, that sort of thing is going on. I challenge you this morning. Why don't you come to Christ? What is there in him? And isn't that ridiculous? In him? Nothing in him. The reason you don't come to Christ is something in you. And Jesus came to manifest that. Not in a nasty way, but for your good. In order for you to see what's wrong with your life. You can't see what's wrong with his life because there isn't anything. But you can see what's wrong with your life. And if you yet stand today outside of Christ, what does that say about you? May God help you to see how Jesus came to judge. He judges us by who he is. It's not just that he looks at these nasty little secrets and nails you for them. That's not what he does. He shows you himself and you feel what you are. And you see it. And you see the wonder of who he is. And the light shines back on you and you see what's wrong with you. It's not that he's up there nailing you. He's not nasty. He doesn't do that. He doesn't accuse you like that. But he manifests enough of himself for you to realize that you are not what you ought to be. That you have flaws in your life that are embarrassing. And you see them when you begin to see what you ought to be. Jesus judges us. And he came for that reason. And he lived a perfect life to judge us. Not to sit on the throne and find fault with us. Not to criticize us. To show us the tremendous contrast between who he is and who you are. And to show us, to bring us to say, Lord, I've sinned, and I've fallen short of the glory of God, and I have no hope unless there is mercy, but I hear there's mercy in you. I'm told that your death on the cross was sufficient for me, and you will take away my sin, and you'll give me a righteousness that now I've begun to want. You'll give that to me, and you'll forgive me for what I've done. I've heard this is the case, and I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. Chains fell off. Heart free, rising, going forth to follow him. We sung about it. You've sung about it before. Happened to you, didn't it, if you're a Christian? Sometime in the past, you saw it. And hasn't it happened a little bit? Every time you've heard the word of God come to convict you and you've looked to Jesus, it continues to happen. And God takes away the blindness, reveals himself. Jesus has a wonderful way of working. The unbeliever will try to say he's a mean judge. He is not a mean judge. But your heart will feel pretty bad when you compare it to what he is. He came to judge the world. And that's how he comes to judge. What's your response to Jesus Christ? I prayed in the beginning that the word would speak to us. How does it speak to you? What is your response to Christ? Are you still one that's never taken a public stand? Why not? What is there in your life? You can't say there's anything wrong with him. What's wrong with you? Doesn't God want you to think that? What's wrong with me? Is there hope? Well, there is hope. That's why he brought you to look that way. Look at yourself and ask yourself why you don't come to Christ. And then see that those are the very things he came to save you from. He came to judge. Wonderful judge. Not the nasty, mean judge we want to associate with the word judge. No, it's not nasty and mean at all. It's wonderful. He draws near to show the magnificence of his person, and he makes you to feel how far short you fall. Well, the gospel goes forth to declare and exalt Jesus, and Jesus draws men to himself. Is he doing that to you today? Now, maybe absolutely every single one of us have seen our sins and have trusted in Jesus. And if so, what a blessed fellowship to be with 100% people that love Jesus Christ. But you know, generally, in this world, this fallen world, given the hypocrisy and the foolishness that all of us are struggling with, it could be that someone would come this morning who is here for another reason than the love for Jesus Christ. And if you're one that came for some other reason, why was that the reason? Who are you in light of Jesus Christ? He came to judge. What's your response to Jesus? Do you see who he is or not? In this sense, he came for judgment. Isn't that wonderful? A wonderful truth. He came for judgment. It's an awesome and terrifying truth that he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. That is a frightening thing. But Jesus has come for judgment now, to sift, to sort, to establish categories, and to bring us to see our real need of him. May the Lord bless you today. Perhaps you won't think of anything else the rest of the service because God's touched you. Has he touched you? If he's touched you, you meditate on that, and we'll go on beyond you. Don't worry. May the Lord help you today. May God speak to hearts. May God bring people from darkness to light by bringing them to faith in himself. May you worship Jesus from the heart. Well, he came to bring sight. And most of us would think that sight is our most important sense. Actually, that may not be the case. Actually, there's a sense in which hearing is more important than seeing. Because the ears can make up for the eyes in a human sense, and people that cannot see but can hear often do very well in school, often exceed, often do well. It's rare for somebody who can't hear to do that well, because the person that can't hear is locked in a little ghetto and led by people who can sign. And it's a dreadful thing not to have hearing. It's a harder burden to bear. Pray for those that are in that circumstance, that God will give them special help, and you be all the help you can. It's a hard place to be. Well, Jesus, still most of us would say sight is the most important thing. And Jesus is speaking about the fact that he came to give sight. So, most of us would think our greatest problem would be seeing. Well, what is it, the seeing that Jesus brings? By nature, according to the scripture, we are blind. We cannot see the most important things. We cannot function in the most important world. We can function in the world that's visible. And it's a challenge, but we can do it. But to function with regard to the unseen world, it is unseen. And there's a reality beyond what we can see that we can't relate to. We don't know how to relate to it. People try to say it's not there, but it is there. Angels come from time to time. Where do they come from? They came to declare the coming of the Lord Jesus, and then they went back into heaven. There's a reality that we can see nothing of. Now and again, a flash of it. Now and again, an angel appears and declares something, and we see something of a reality beyond what we can see. But basically, we're blind. We're blind to those things. And of course, the person that says they don't exist and say that there is no God, they're really blind. They don't see anything at all. Blind to the great reality of God. They don't know the most important things that exist. They don't know what is truly beautiful. Obviously, they'll be caught up with what they think is beautiful. But it's of no beauty at all compared with Christ. One that began to see this realized that all the beautiful things in his life that he had, he counted them as rubbish for the joy of knowing Christ. Paul talks about that, huh? Everything that he had, and he had a lot. It was rubbish compared with knowing Christ. Seeing Christ is everything. So you have some kind of sight. You see the things that are created. You function in a world that's visible. But there's something more wonderful by far than anything you've seen so far. Seeing that changes everything. Well, Jesus came to bring sight. We don't know what is truly as beautiful, but God shows us. We don't know what is eternal. We're caught up with the things that are only passing. And we're told about the things that are eternal, but we can't see them. We can hear about them. We can imagine. We can't see it. We're blind. And many people won't bother to imagine the eternal things, won't bother to think about it. Just live the best you can and have a lot of fun, and when you're dead, you're dead. Is what our country would like to say. The philosophy of our nation would say, have the most fun you can, and when you're dead, you're dead. But that is not reality. That is not true. And all of them are blind. Well, they need sight. They need to see what they haven't seen. God knows what is beautiful. He knows what is eternal. He knows what is altogether lovely. He knows what is worth seeing He knows what is real, and his goal is to reveal that to us. Open our eyes to see. People experience something of that. One of the songs we sang is that heaven above is deeper blue. The green is deeper green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. And maybe you can remember coming to Christ and how the world was different the next day. How it really did seem like trees were greener. It really did seem like the sky was bluer. It really did seem like the delights were more wonderful. It really did. Maybe you can think of that. Some came at a very early age and can't look back to the time, but some can look back to the time and realize it's true. The next day I was a different person, and the world looked differently. My eyes were open. I saw Christ in places I had missed him entirely. And the world we live in, the society we live in, has missed him entirely. They don't see Christ. And yet Christ is to be seen by those who have believed, those who have been given sight. He knows that man by nature is entirely blind to everything valuable. Man gropes about in the darkness, stumbling over the things that he doesn't see. He can't see what's best food, the best road to take. He can't even enjoy what there is along the road of life. Jesus knows that we're blind. And he sees himself as the one who has come to give sight to the blind. Fast bound in sin, nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. Have you experienced that? Perhaps not as dramatically as the song conveys it, but really and truly, have you come to see the light in Jesus Christ? He is presented to you. And he calls you to seek the Lord while he may be found. If he has shown you that, Paul reminds us, it was God who spoke light out of darkness, who has shined into your mind to give you the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. If you're a Christian, thank God for opening your eyes. If he hadn't opened your eyes, you would never have known Jesus. Well, may the Lord help us to appreciate the sight we have and realize I have this sight because of Jesus. Jesus gave me this sight. He came into the world to give sight to the blind. And he tells us that in so many words in the passage that we have here. Well, is there something you should meditate upon? Well, then do. Don't bother to listen to the rest. Let God speak to you. Let God work in you. Let God deepen in your longing to see more clearly, to love him more. Don't bother to listen to the rest. That may be the part that has to speak to you. Sometimes you can be drawn to say a duty that you have to listen to the rest and you miss what you were thinking. Well, don't do that here. Why? You can think these things again. You can go back. May the Lord speak to your heart in a way that affects you right now. And you realize what you need is light, or you realize what I have is light. And it was given me by God. Jesus came to give sight to the blind. But let's look in the next section at blindness, because Jesus says in verse 39, "For judgment I came into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." There are people in his day who thought they saw. They thought they could judge Jesus. They personally thought they were better than he was. Now, they couldn't nail him down with anything that he did, although they tried very hard, but they knew that secretly he must be not as good as they are. And they despised Jesus and didn't value him and thought he, and interpreted what he did in all different ways to get rid of the idea of needing to worship him. They didn't see who he was. And they saw who themselves were, and they thought themselves pretty good. And so they assumed that Jesus was bad. They haven't caught him yet, but he's bad. They were blind. But they said they saw. So were they there to listen to what Jesus said and think about what he said and meditate and open their heart? Were they ready to? No. What did they need to? They knew who he was. They'd categorized him already. They'd already rejected him. I hope there's nobody in that category here. When I spoke to about possible unbelievers, I certainly meant those that at least are open, or at least are polite toward the things of God. There are people in our day that are terribly impolite with Jesus and talk arrogantly as if they see and they can tell us how wrong we are. I don't think there's any of that category here. you may be some that haven't taken a stand and haven't looked and embraced and known the joy that's spoken of in the hymns that we sang. That's the ones that I mean, the unbeliever. I don't think there's anyone here who would snarl at the idea of Christ and consider themselves superior. Well, these people snarled at Christ and considered themselves superior. And they thought, how dare you say that we don't see? And Jesus is dealing with them. And they needed to recognize their blindness. They had to see that they were blind. And until they saw that they were blind, they would never come to him for sight. So here they are blind. If they were really blind, I mean, like the chipmunks didn't notice who Christ was. The animals that have no, aren't human beings, didn't recognize, although there's a sense in which we can always imagine them knowing their Lord. But there's a wonderful song about it. It was at a morning like this, and you almost see the grass recognizing who Christ is. That's a wonderful idea, but love that song. But inanimate creatures who have no mind, they really are blind. And they're not guilty. They're not judged for what they do. They're not condemned. They really are blind. They can't see. God didn't create them to see, but he did create men to see. And he gave men the ability to perceive it. And they do have ears to hear. And they can think. And they can hear. They can see. If you were a chipmunk, if you were a muskrat, you don't have to believe. You won't be condemned. You won't live forever, but you won't be condemned. If you're an animal, you don't have to worry. But God has given you the capacity to see. And you are responsible to see. And so your blindness is culpable. That means you're guilty for your blindness. And it's not the matter that it just happened that you didn't see. No, it isn't a matter of happening. It's you yourself have refused to see. There's something deeper. Didn't you see any of that when we talked about the real problem? The problem is you. It's not him. It's not that the things of God are invisible. They're invisible to you. And that is something that you need to see. And some of you have seen that. Some of you realize, I was blind. I didn't see anything. I didn't understand anything. Until God showed me who he is, I thought I knew so much and I knew nothing. And the way you came to know Christ was you came to see that you were blind. That all your faculties of learning did not lead you to know the truth. The man by wisdom cannot know God. You saw that. I am blind. I need Christ. And Jesus can say to the Pharisee, if you were blind, you wouldn't have any guilt. But it's because you say you see, because you are blind. And because you say you see, that's the reason your guilt remains. And you've got to get rid of that and say, no, I don't see. I need you, Lord Jesus. And that's what I urge you to, because I'm a preacher and that's what I'm supposed to say. I'm supposed to say it because it's true. You need Christ. You need him to open your eyes. You need the darkness to be taken away. And the darkness is in you. It's not in him. But you need a change. You need to be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Jesus knew it throughout his whole ministry. This isn't the only time he talked of this. Throughout his whole ministry, he knew he was dealing with people that were blind and needed to see. And the Pharisees' problem was because they said they could see. No, if they saw they were blind, then they'd look to him. And so he challenges them. And his heart goes out as he challenges them. And many of the Pharisees did come to believe. We think of the ones that held out and nailed him to a cross and were glad to get rid of him. But there were Pharisees among the bunch that were a great problem for the system, because some that were in the system did come to believe and did come to serve Jesus. So you're not doomed if you're blind, because Christ is there to be seen. You need the help of God, well then ask for it. You don't see who he is, then ask him to show you. You don't understand the reality of the wonder of who God is. God is not real to you, well then ask him. Can't he show himself? If he's God, he can. Ask him to show himself. Ask him to show you. Call upon him. That's what Jesus would have us to do. Jesus came to make the ones that said they could see, to make them blind, to make them admit they were blind, to make them recognize they were blind, so that as a responsible human being, they turn from darkness and seek the Lord. Is there anyone here who doesn't know if there's a God? Maybe there's an agnostic. You know, out of politeness, maybe an agnostic would come to hear what these people think. Is there an agnostic here who doesn't know there's a God? You can know. Do you want to know? Do you like to be an agnostic? Do you want to know that there's a God? Ask him. Maybe you feel foolish asking because you don't already believe. No, you don't start off believing in order to come. You don't have to do anything else before you believe. You have to start believing. And so don't wait until if God has proved that he's there and then believe in him. Wait a minute, you got it wrong. No, what you're done called to do is believe. Believe in the Lord. If you're one that doesn't know there's a God, ask him to show you. Why don't you ask? What is there in you that doesn't want to ask him to show you? Are you secretly afraid he will show you? Do you think maybe that will point at some things in your life that are wrong? What's the reason that you want to say, I don't know, I'm not convinced? Intellectual problems. What are the reasons for the intellectual problems? Other people far smarter than you have no such intellectual problems. There are people that are brilliant that have believed the word of God, and you got a problem? Well, why do you have a problem? What is your intellectual problem? What's the root of it? Hasn't it ever been answered? Has nobody ever seen it before? People have seen it before. Well, find the answer. And realize that maybe the problem is because you don't want to have the answer. Just consider that. Think about it. Now, again, I don't know that I'm speaking to any agnostics. But I don't know the hearts of people. I don't know their minds. And God knows. And if there is one here, God may speak. Is he speaking to you? Well, he's doing that to bring you to see your need of Jesus, to bring you to see how wonderful he is, how he is worthy of our praise, how he, in love and kindness, came to earth to live the life that you couldn't live and to die on the cross to pay the penalty that you well deserve to pay. And he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sends forth his Spirit and gives the Spirit to those that ask. Ask for him. Say, Lord, send your Spirit to me. I hear a blessing all around, but I haven't received it. Lord, send it to me. Ask him. Do you think he'll turn you away when you ask him? As we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, Jesus says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So Jesus came to show your blindness, recognize your blindness, and ask him for help. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that's given to us. And you can identify the category you're in. You can see the time in your life where you played the part of a Christian and didn't know the reality. Went through the motions, impressed other people, even made people praise the Lord that you're such a wonderful Christian. And inside you're going, such things exist. I don't know if that's your life. Such things exist. Would God be pleased to break through? Would your heart be opened? Would your eyes be made to see? May God, by his mercy, speak to your heart, transform your life, help you to deal with those things that deaden you, blind you, and enable you to see the glory of God in the face of Christ. It's what Jesus had come to do. It's a story of my life. Take a person that is in blindness and give them sight and bring them to worship him. May God do that for you. Give you sight, make you to worship him. And may those of us who can say, although we're a little ashamed at how poorly we've lived it out, we could say, God has done that for me. May God give us a resolve today. I am going to live in the light of the gospel. I'm going to live in the light of Christ. I am going to be a person that has been shown who Christ is and determines by God's grace to live for him in my life. We know what Jesus came to earth to do. We've looked at the fact that he came as a ransom for many. We know that he's come to call sinners to repentance. And now we've remembered that he comes to give sight to the blind. May God give our hearts a rejoicing in him. And may we respond to him in the way he's touched our hearts today. Has he touched your heart? Has he shown you anything? Then respond. Why did he show you? To have you go off and get involved with something and forget? No. It's to draw you close to himself. Well, then draw near. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His whole ministry was, come unto me, you that are hungry, come unto me, you that are thirsty, come unto me. You that are enslaved, come unto me. And today he says as well, come unto me. In this way, saying it in light of the text that we've looked at today. Well, may God bless our meditation on these texts. May our meditation on him be sweet. May we spend the day from time to time going back and thinking about these things. And may more and more our hearts be those that pray, God, reveal yourself to me. Show me. Help me, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Help me. The text we've looked at is, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming into the world. As we think about these things, we can remember our own blindness and the wonderful means you used to open our eyes. Maybe we can remember a life of hypocrisy for years before it finally dawned on us the reality. Maybe others, Lord, were in the midst of sins from which people can't be delivered by human means. But you opened our eyes. You caused the chains to fall off, and you freed our hearts. And others, Lord, perhaps are not in opposition to these things, but have never known the reality of Jesus Christ within. Lord, help us, each one, to worship and to bless your great name and to know the reality of God to empower our lives. Help us, we pray, and may our focus always be the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing, and we commit ourselves into your hands today. In Jesus' name, amen.